Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be together. I know this isn't the most comfortable circumstance. I know that some of us have trouble hearing. We try to improve that as we can. This isn't ideal. This isn't like being in the building, I know, where it sounds better and it's less humid. Being in the sunshine right now is not the best conditions, but as we join together as the family of God, it is such a blessing to be able to join together in this time of worship, in this time of honoring our God. You know, I was thinking about, 2020 has not... About halfway, and it's not been the best. I'm hopeful the second half will make up for the first half. And maybe things will be doubly good in the second half of the year. That's what I'm going to pray for. But I think there are a lot of lessons that we learn from times like this. When we're challenged, maybe in our comfort. When we're challenged in our normal schedule. I know that's been thrown out of whack for many of us. When we've been challenged spiritually, maybe this morning you're feeling a little challenged spiritually. Maybe you're a little uncomfortable with your relationship with God. And I think that those are opportunities for us to stretch and to grow. And I hope that each of us uses those opportunities to do just that. You know, our country is suffering right now. We're suffering from a virus that continues to linger on and many are suffering with. And unfortunately, we've lost many in our country over this. There are many who are frightened and fearful of the consequences. And then we're also suffering socially. There's a lot of anger in our country right now. And what scares me is what that anger is leading some to. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In Matthew chapter 18, in the text that, Patrick read for us, you notice in the context of what's going on in Matthew 18 is a lot of discussion about forgiveness. About being willing to forgive. And not only that, but being willing to reach out to those who may have harmed you. Those who may have done you wrong. And it's in the midst of this discussion of forgiveness that Peter asked the question, Lord, how many times or how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? And you notice the answer of our Lord. And it really goes to the heart of what it means to be a disciple of God, a disciple of Christ. He says, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven, depending on how that word is translated, that terminology is translated. But the idea or the principle is, don't put a number on it. I don't want you to be counting how many times somebody is coming and asking for forgiveness. Why did Jesus say that? Why should we have to continually put up with someone else being mean to us or doing us wrong? You ever thought about that? Why should we have to put up with that? Why is that what God wants from us? Paul gives us somewhat of an answer in Ephesians chapter 4, and I just want to go there and think about what he says to us. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. in a discussion about the unity of the church and how they were to interact with one another and how they were to be good examples for one another, he records these words. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil." Be angry and do not sin. There are a couple of things that I can take away from that. Number one, anger is not a sin. Being angry is not a sin. Our Lord was angry, and He did not sin. Anger is a emotion given by God, and it's an emotion that actually is recorded of God. Being angry is not the sin. It's the reaction to our anger. It's how we act upon that emotion. Notice as he goes on, he says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." What does he mean? Don't let your anger get out of control. Don't let your anger become hate. Anger can quickly evolve into something very, very ugly. And then the end of that, in verse 27, give no opportunity to the devil. My unkept emotion, any emotion, is an opportunity for Satan to create temptation in our life to sin. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Our emotions must never control us. We must always be in control of our emotions. Hate is a sin if given in the wrong way, and I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. Hate will lead us to do things we should not do. It can lead us to damage our lives and the lives of others. And I want you to notice something else about hate. Hate will always do more harm to us than it will to those we hate. And so for a few minutes today, I want to talk about the dangers of hate. You know, God hates. Did you know that? Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Notice what the proverb writer says about God and His relationship to hate. Verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 6, he says, "There are six things that the Lord hates." And he goes on to list those. But notice as he describes the hate, he says seven that are an abomination to God. That's an extreme form of hate. But do you notice how he characterizes that? There are six things that God hates. You notice the same kind of idea is found in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. In talking to the Ephesian church, Jesus says, "Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." God hates certain activities. God hates certain behaviors. He despises them. But you notice what he doesn't hate. He doesn't hate people. He doesn't hate us. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I want you to notice something about God, something about His characteristics of who He is. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, And whoever loves has been born of God, because God is love. Now, how can God both hate and also be love? He didn't just say God loves. He says God is the definition of love. Does that sound a little bit counterintuitive? How can you both hate and love? Again, it goes back to what God hates and what God loves. God hates sin. He hates sin, and He hates the way sin destroys and tears apart. But God never stops loving people. God always loves people. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3, as Paul speaks about this love of God. He says, "This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." You notice the text there doesn't say that God just desires that the good people come to the knowledge of the truth. That He doesn't just desire all those who are quote-unquote good people to be saved. But He desires all men to be saved. Now, have you ever thought about the implications of that? And of who that would include? That wouldn't just include your family. That wouldn't just include you. That wouldn't just include your friends, the people you respect and love. That would include those people who we look at as pretty despicable. People who've done some pretty evil things in their life. You know what? God loves every one of them and wants every one of them to be saved. We need to be careful about what we hate, what we despise. I'm reminded of what's written in the book of Genesis chapter 1, right there at the very beginning. After God had created the world and all the things in it, He then turned to His apex of creation, mankind. And in verse 26, the text tells us that God said, "Let us make man in our image." Verse 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Those people that sometimes we like to hate are the image of our God. You think for just a minute about the value God places on us as human beings, as us, His children, His created beings. God didn't do that with any other creation. He didn't do that with our world. He didn't do that with their animal life. He didn't do that with plants. He only did it with us. When hate rules our heart, we lessen the value of human worth. We lessen the value of that person or those individuals we hate. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, Moses writes about the killing of another person. And he says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in His own image." In Genesis chapter 4, what led Cain to kill Abel? It was hate. What's interesting is it wasn't because of what Abel had done, but John tells us in his first epistle that it was because the deeds of Cain were evil. When we hate, We are hating someone who is precious in the eyes of God. When we hate, we lessen the worth of God's creation. Number two, when we hate, it halts our spiritual growth. In the book of Acts, in chapter 7, we read about the trial of Stephen, the first martyr in Christendom, the first child of God who was killed for his faith that we have recorded in Scripture. We have Stephen stand up before the crowd that day and preach about Jesus and to preach about the sins of the people and their need for God's salvation. I want you to notice in verse 54 the reaction of those individuals. When they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. They hated Stephen. Now you may ask, how do I know that? Go on and read about their reaction to him simply preaching the Word of God, preaching the truth of God. Verse 57 tells us that when they heard Stephen talk about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and rushed together at him. When we allow hate to rule our lives, we are not going to be able to grow spiritually. When we hate the speaker, instead of doing real self-evaluation, we got a real problem. These individuals could not hear the Word of God because they had hate in their heart. Paul warned us in Ephesians 4 about this in the passage we read earlier. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, because it will give place or opportunity to the devil. These individuals were not ready to listen because they had hate in their heart. James chapter 1 verse 19, James warns us. James chapter 1 and verse 26. Verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. There are a lot of people right now who are very quick to speak. There are a lot of people who are very quick to express an opinion of anger and even hate. You notice in the book of James here that James says that before we can receive the implanted word, we have to do three things. We have to be ready to listen and not just hear, but to really listen. We have to be ready to shut our mouths. And we have to put anger and hate away. It's at that point that we can listen, and if necessary, we can grow. If necessary, we can repent and we can change. But we're not going to be able to do that if our hearts are filled with anger and hate hate destroys or halts our spiritual growth. And then lastly, hate will destroy our example and harm the gospel. Back in Matthew chapter 18, Peter says, "How many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Seven times?" No, 70 times 7 or 77. Why did Jesus say that? Why do we as Christians have to forgive those who sin against us? Why do we always have to have a forgiving heart? Because Jesus understood something about us as human beings. In Luke chapter 17, he goes on to explain this in a little deeper way about forgiveness. Luke 17 and verse 3, he says, "Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day." And notice, Peter said, you know, over my life, how many times can he sin against me and I have to keep forgiving him? Here Jesus says, if he sins against you seven times in one day, what? And turns to you seven times saying, "I repent," you must, notice the imperative there, you must forgive him. Or you have sinned. And you're going to have to go back to him and ask for forgiveness. There is an imperative on us as children of God that we be a forgiving people. That means at times we overlook slights against ourselves. And it means that we must never allow our anger toward events and behaviors to turn into hate. We have the supreme example in our Lord. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, as Jesus hung on the cross. Now, why is Jesus hanging on the cross? Because a lot of people had allowed their anger to turn into hate because they hated him. And yet in verse 34, Jesus says to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even in the midst of their brutality and their evil behavior, Jesus is still able to turn and to say, "Father, forgive them." We need to be a forgiving people. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said that love needed to characterize who we are as Christians. In John 13, 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If we hate people, we're not going to be able to love them. We must expunge the hate from our souls and from our minds. If Jesus was able to do it, we can do it too. None of us have been offended like he was offended. None of us have been treated as harshly and horribly as he was treated. If he can do it, so can we. And I'll leave you with 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and following. As John writes here in his first epistle, 1 John 4 and verse 9, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might have or so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. I sure am glad of one thing. I'm glad God doesn't hate me. I sure have done a lot to deserve it. I've been in opposition with God a lot in my life. There's a lot of times I've sinned and I've broken God's heart. I've been obstinate. I've been rebellious. And you know what? God never hated me. I've treated Him poorly. I've taken Him for granted. And you know what? He never stopped loving me. He never started hating me. I'm sure I've made Him angry, but that never led Him to hate me. God loves us with an undying love, with an unending love. Can we be that kind of love for others in our lives? Don't give in to the hate. Be careful about what you post on Facebook, Twitter. Be careful about the message you send to those who are watching and listening. Be careful with your words and with your actions. As a child of God, I am asked and I am commanded to hold myself to a higher standard and to not give in to the world's whims. There's a lot of anger in our world right now. Some of it justified and some of it not. But I'm not to be a part of the world. I'm to be set apart from the world. May we as children of God never look like this world wants us to look, like Satan is tempting us to look. My prayer is that all of us will strive to live to a higher example, a higher example of how we treat others. It's okay to be angry at sin, but you know where that anger should start? In our own homes, in our own lives. Be careful that that anger toward sin doesn't become hate toward people. If you would, let us bow in prayer. Our Almighty God and Father above, we're so blessed to be a part of a worship time, to spend these times thinking about You and Your Son, thinking about the awful price that was paid for us on the cross. Father, may we learn from the example of our Lord. May we strive to love people, to know that what is most important isn't being right, isn't proving our arguments, but it is in sharing the gospel with those who so desperately need it. Father, let us help us to be shining lights in our community and in our world. May we live differently than the world lives. Help us, Father. Help us to be the kind of example we should be. We love You. We thank You. Most of all, for Jesus Christ, we say thank You. And it's in His name we offer this prayer. Amen.